This is the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Post Game Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Oh, hi, Corey. How you doing?
Oh, dear Lord, they suck.
Yeah, that wasn't good. And the worst thing for you, Corey, is like
That's my favorite. That's my favorite description of a Jets loss. Just yeah, that wasn't good.
But sorry. See, I think it was worse for you because I think you had this sublime, you know, bucolic pastoral weekend where you're picking apples with your fiance. And then the next thing you know, you travel back down the Hudson River and you're just descended into the madness that is, you know, Jets fandom.
We had a wonderful weekend. We have had like no free time between the wedding and our social life and school and work, right. Not school, but work and all that. And so we finally had a weekend where the two of us had no plans. So we decided to have a weekend just for ourselves from Friday through Sunday. We were going to go to a movie on Sunday. We were going to watch a Jets game. We went apple picking, as you said, on Saturday. We went out to a big fancy dinner on Saturday night in the city. We had a few drinks after. Friday night, we stayed home and watched DVR and ordered takeout. Like, it was just this perfect weekend. Mm-hmm. And then at 1 o'clock, but the funny thing is like halfway through the second quarter, I knew what game it was. And was just like, nope, not going to ruin my weekend. Not going to ruin my weekend. That's I true. Know how this is going to go. And I watched it happen. I knew when they went up, I was literally laughing after he hit like the 40-yard line on that kickoff.
Oh, yeah.
I just started bursting out laughing because you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
Oh, man.
We have a lot to talk about. But before we do, just a quick promotional note. To access this show along with the rest of SNY.TV's original podcasts, you can just search for SNY.TV audio in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you listen to your podcast. That's the SNY.TV audio in the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. Without further ado, let's get right into the calls.
Yes, hello. I'm Duffy from the Bronx, and I'm very, very upset with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is the worst quarterback in New York Jets history, I have to say. He is terrible, terrible. Every time I see this guy play, I'm about to put on a pacemaker because I'm about to have a heart attack. And he plays so bad, my hair looks like Beetlejuice. You know, I got gray hair from this guy. This guy, he's a terrible, terrible quarterback. He needs to be benched.
Hi, this is Matt from Harvard University, just leaving a message for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan, we found a pair of your Reading the Field glasses in one of the classrooms. If you could come, please collect them. That'd be great.
Oh, my God.
At least you guys make this thoroughly enjoyable for us.
Oh, God bless you all. God bless you all.
So a quick couple things quickly on Ryan Fitzpatrick. As of this taping, according to Adam Schefter, he has a sprained MCL. The Jets have not made a decision on what to do with him, but he sprained his MCL against Miami on that low hit that brought a penalty with it. Also, a couple stats here just for you. Ryan Fitzpatrick has a 53.2 completion percentage, two touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and a 43.9 passer rating in the second half of all games this season.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
By the way, this is a guy who yesterday sprained his MCL, could barely walk, couldn't even escape the pocket or move, which led to multiple bad plays in the second half. Yet they trust the guy that they traded up for in the fourth round and the guy they drafted in the second round so little that they won't put them in despite having the worst quarterback in the NFL injured and unable to move. I don't know what else to do, Brian.
I mean, is it any wonder Sheldon Richardson and Mohamed Wilkerson are just not showing up to meetings? Like, I mean, I know we'll get to that, but the whole point is, right, like, it's coming apart so quickly and so horrifically. I don't even know what to think, right? Like, what does it take? It just boggled my mind. I mean, I and I've been clear, like, I don't know that the backups, the young kids, are going to be the answer, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, he can't
he's
do
not
it.
The answer.
He's not the answer. And so why do we keep just right returning to the same thing again and again and again, and like the interception in the red zone, and just the, you know, the when they did go up and they scored, You know, now that's not Ryan Fitzpatrick's fault when the special teams come back on the next play and score, but like the only time it went well for him is when other people made it go well for him, right? So the botched punt by Miami, and then, you know, Matt Forte had that long touchdown run, right? I mean, he just kind of bounced it and you know, went for whatever it was, 30, 35 yards, something like that. It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick who is making this thing go. I don't know what else we need to see or witness or do to move on. And listen, the MCL sprain is bad and I feel bad for the guy, but you know, that is the least injurious, I don't know, severe of the CLs, the ACL, the PCL, whatever. So he might be able to play. And Bowles has already said if he's healthy, he's going to play. But yeah, I just don't know if we're going to see much different than we saw at the end of the game last week and in the next couple of weeks.
We're not. And I just don't, I understand it on one level because this is Bowles coaching for his job essentially and needing to win and provide at least some sort of cover for the Jets not to fire him. But they are playing the worst quarterback. I want to say the worst quarterback they could play because we don't know how bad Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg are going to be once they do play. But what is left in this season? Are we just fighting for 7-9 at this point? Is that what they're going for? Is that the hope? Is that 8-8 is still on the horizon? I mean, the season is over. They've lost 6 games. They're not going undefeated. This is a bad team that couldn't beat a bad team who tried to give them the game. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that they're going to beat the Rams next week. The only guaranteed win I see left on their schedule is the game against the 49ers, and that's because the 49ers are literally the worst team in football.
Yeah, garbage.
I don't understand why they continue to stay loyal to this guy except for PR and ownership/ticket sales reasons. And if that's the case, then the problems with this team and this franchise run much deeper than who takes the field every Sunday.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think if we're not already there, and I kind of think we are already there, but if we're not already there, you know, let's turn it over. Let's turn it over and let someone else have a shot. And maybe let's hear whoever has the next shot on the phone.
Hi, Wayne from Queens Village. Can you please tell me why our Jets continue to run so many plays from the shotgun area? Why is it that even when our running game is good that we don't seem to be taking advantage of it or taking advantage of the good plays that we run and keep running them? Oh, by the way, here's the field goal unit. Yay!
This is Gary Gallagher from Phoenix, Arizona. I would like to know is when is the media going to hold Chan Gailey responsible for the terrible play calling that he has, predictable play calls on third down, and just terrible sequence of plays game after game after game?
Well, I think some of it comes on he's riding the wave of what he built last year. I certainly think that's part of it. I don't necessarily think, and I'm curious what you think, Corey, that he needs to be fired. I certainly think the talent and the personnel is not where we want it to be. But I certainly think that, you know, Forte has proven, whatever you think of Matt Forte and whatever role he should or shouldn't have, like, he's proven pretty effective, you know, in the easy spots, maybe less so in the harder spots. Kind of the like weeks 3, 4, 5 and maybe 6. I can't remember. He did not have such good games. But then also the talent at the wide receiver, right? Like, I think we have to credit him with some of the good things we're seeing, but certainly right. As far as the specific play calling, I'm curious what you think, Corey.
The play calling baffles me on some occasions. Why are you running a angle pass to your running back on 3rd and 1 with no upside? Like, just run the ball at that point. Like, why you're over, like, the main problem that comes to me with the play calling is Gailey overthinking everything. I don't know if he's in his head. I don't know if he's overthinking a lot of stuff. But that being said, like, there are multiple throws out there and plays out there, specifically in the passing game. There are multiple throws out there for Ryan Fitzpatrick to make that he does not make.
Yeah, like that Robbie Anderson play yesterday. Yes. That comes to mind specifically.
Right. The Quincy Enunwa being wide open on that design that ended up being the Fat Man interception. Mm-hmm. Quincy Enunwa on a nine, it looked like, or even on a post, was wide open 12 to 15 yards down the field inside the soft zone. It was a perfectly run route, perfectly designed, but Fitzpatrick locked on to Marshall and never saw the dropping defensive lineman.
So do we blame Gailey for that?
So here's what I was going to say. The problem I think that Gailey has right now is he has no faith in this running game, and it's an uncreative running game at that. It's the same three or four packages, the same three or four calls. It's an easy-to-defend running game, and the fact that Matt Forte is able to get the yards out of it that he is and Powell is able to get the yards out of it is a testament to them. And there are some times when it works, but it's just a very boring and vanilla game, and there's no faith in it in the short yardage. It's almost like they banked everything on Kyrie Robinson being their short yardage back.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got hurt in the season finale, they were just like, oh, crap, we basically have to abandon the run in any sort of short yardage situation. But the bigger problem for me, Brian, and this is week nine, so I think this is roughly 9 weeks in a row of me making this point. I'm so sick and tired of watching this field goal unit. Two times inside the 6 yard line on fourth down, they kick a field goal. It's unacceptable. The third field goal attempt when the 28 yarder with about 13 minutes left, that's fine. You take the points, whatever. But the other two times in the beginning, specifically the first one when you're marching down the field. What's the worst case scenario? It's the first series of the game. You go for it, you don't get it. Guess what happens? The Miami Dolphins are pinned inside their own five, okay? Yeah, you might not get, but it's just there's so many points at which Bowles essentially is playing safe for a defense that he doesn't have and an offense that can't control the game. And the thing that blows my mind is it's like Gailey was like protecting the lead on that fourth quarter drive like they didn't have a lead
The one that was like right around 2 minutes
it just seems like this coaching staff is coaching for a team that they don't have.
I think that's a excellent point, and I never could have said it that way myself, but I like that idea of if you have a defense that you feel like you can, you know, put out there and run out there against them, then fine, so be it. But right, if you've got kind of a break, don't bend defense, then maybe you need to gamble a little bit more, break, you know, bend, don't break on offense or something. I don't know, whatever, whatever the opposite of that would be on offense, right? You have to break, you have to go for bust essentially on offense if your defense is not going to be able to just get three and outs repeatedly, which this team has been able to do in the past, but is just not doing this year.
Let me ask you a question before we move on. At what point are we going to start talking? At what point is Todd Bowles' job actually in jeopardy? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think based on the Muhammad Wilkerson stuff, and I think we'll get all to that in a minute here. I think it's becoming it. This week could be bad. Like it could get pretty loud this week, and then obviously it's only going to echo and get worse as we go from here. But I think the fact that Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson were benched because they're not showing up to meetings, I certainly think that does not go well in his favor. What do you think?
You know what? Let's let our caller weigh in first, and then we'll kind of pin off of that.
Okay.
As a lifelong Jets fan, I'm beyond frustrated with this organization. It seems like after every game, every single season, we're told continually how we beat ourselves. We have to play smarter. We have the right guys, but we have to execute better. Why does it seem like every year the Jets are behind the eight ball? Andrew from Franklin Square.
Okay, so Andrew brings up a point that we were just talking about. Thank you for calling. There are a lot of things to get into here about the coaching. The first one is Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson being benched for the first quarter, and the report comes out this week or today on Monday that they were benched because essentially they've decided that meetings are no longer mandatory for them, and they show up whenever they want, including being late, and Bowles essentially had enough of it and did it. The bottom line here is if you're Todd Bowles, if you're the accountability coach, which is what he was billed as, the guy who was going to hold P players' feet to the flames, who is no longer going to let the locker room shenanigans that happened under Rex happen, then this should have happened the first time that they didn't show up. And I don't know why it didn't. I don't know if it was an important game. I don't know when this started happening, but Bowles should have made an example of them immediately. And I think it's hard not to look at the two of them and the way Fitzpatrick gets away with everything and the way Darrelle Revis gets away with everything. I think it's hard not to look at that and see that an overall culture of unaccountability, mm-hmm. laziness, selfishness, and almost business-like decisions, whereas I'm out for mine. I mean, there's a hockey podcast I listen to, and they describe the day of being back in the 70s and how, you know, everyone would go out for drinks after the game. And sports isn't like that now, but still, it feels like these are 52 players taking 52 cars with 52 different agendas to the game.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And I can't think of the name, but the guy we were talking, we had the Any Given Sunday quote last week, and I immediately thought of this as he started talking there, is whatever LL Cool J's character was in Any Given Sunday, I feel like that's what this team is now, right? Like, he was kind of the mercenary, in it for the money, in it for the stats, did not really care about the team, you know, until like the last play of the movie or whatever. And I think the hard thing here is, like, this organization, these players, these quote unquote leaders are just rotting from within, right? And when you don't have, you know, some of the guys that maybe were there in years past, Calvin Pace and DeBrickshaw Ferguson, and, you know, I don't know, even some of the younger leaders like Damon Harrison, like, maybe now it's all starting to happen, right? Like, and I think a perfect example of this is Darrelle Revis's comments last week, where he was talking about how, like, people should respect me and, like, pay attention to me for the things I've done in the past and not so much what I'm doing now, which I find totally fascinating and hilarious, because, like, this is the guy who was telling us earlier in his career that, like, it's about right now, it's about what I'm doing right now, not the contract I signed 3 years ago. And so just this whole thing is just rotting within the organization. I don't know how else to put it. And it's very worrisome for me.
No, so, it is. It's starting to feel like Bowles is trying to plug holes on a sinking ship.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the engine room that's flooded, and he's got a bucket. You know, that's kind of what this is starting to feel like. I mean, the guy didn't even call his final timeout yesterday, because he essentially was just like, nah, I'm out. I'm done. I'm all set. Like, I just feel like he's exasperated with this roster and this team, and I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that we don't know about.
Yeah, and Julian Washington, thanks, Jeff, our producer, for telling us. Julian Washington is LL Cool J's character in Any Given Sunday. But I think to the point here is, to your point, is if you don't address it immediately, you know, I understand it. Like, if, well, here's what I'll say. I'm a parent, right? I have three little kids. And there's different ways that people parent. Some people just let their kids run amok and do whatever they want, and fine, that's their prerogative. Other parents tend to say, like, okay, we have to be consistent in what we do, right? And that tends to yield better results. Like, if you say, you know, this is the line, and they cross the line, and then you don't enforce those, you know, the repercussions of it, like, then you're setting your kids up for further infractions. And so, right, I just feel like it's hard to know what Todd Bowles is doing, but it doesn't feel consistent, right? It just, that's the big thing for me, is it doesn't feel consistent. And maybe it was, and, you know, we're outside and we don't know, but it just, from the outside looking in on the moments that I see, it doesn't feel consistent, right? And just further to the point of when Mohammad Wilkerson, a guy who just got a huge payday from this team, is effectively, like, just disrespecting his teammates by not showing up or showing up late or whatever, and his coaches, like, he's asking for, you know, to basically be suspended or benched, yep, or whatever. He's asking for that. And then if he's doing that, what are the other guys, you know, trying to get away with? If the guy who everybody in the organization is looking at is getting away with that kind of stuff, you know, what are the guys who are making, you know, veteran minimums or, you know, rookie minimums, like, what do they think about that? If that guy isn't going above and beyond, then why the heck should I?
Yep. And one more thing before we move off the coaching. If I see the linebackers and safeties get beat to the corner on another freaking out zone stretch or outside zone run, I swear to God, I'm going to fly to wherever that team is and teach them how to take a f***ing angle to that damn run play, because I'm tired of seeing them beat on that same play 5 weeks in a row. And it's not just getting beat on it. It's getting beat for a touchdown on it week after week after week. And you know what that is? That's coaching. That is not coaching your players to take the right angle. And I'm tired of watching it. I'm tired of watching the secondary and these linebackers take these lazy angles over and over and over again and no one being held accountable.
You know what it is? My son just finished his six-year-old soccer season. It's six-year-old soccer is essentially what it is.
Everyone run at the ball.
Love it.
Let's move on to the last question.
Hi, this is Anthony from Milford. What's it going to take to see the kids? I'm getting tired of Fitzpatrick. He's 1,000 years old. And, it's time. We need to see the kids in order to know what we're going to have to draft. All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
And his reading the field glasses are back at Harvard.
I got nothing. I don't know. I don't know. What's the audio equivalent of a shruggy? What's the audio equivalent of the shrug emoji? I don't know.
The ASCII whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's to your point earlier. You kind of already made the point as well as it could be made, which was if we're this far in and they keep running this guy back out, it only demonstrates their worry, concern, whatever, about what the two guys behind them are. The counter argument to that is it's that kind of consistency, and the quarterback position is different than other positions. And once you make a switch there, you know, you're kind of like breaking the seal. You can't go back from that. And so I understand that. But I mean, it's time. If we're not there, we're 30 minutes of football away from there, as far as I'm concerned. They've already yanked him out, right? And then they put in Geno Smith, who, you know, injured his knee. And then, you know, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick had a chance to, you know, kind of, you know, just basically whatever, bully pulpit at the podium and say, you know, how nobody believes in him and boo-hoo-hoo. And then he went out and beat a Browns team, good for you. And then, you know, totally just engulfed himself in flames last weekend against the Dolphins. So, if we're not there, Anthony, we are so close to there. I firmly believe that. But I just feel like with Bowles, it's one of those, once you go there, there's no turning back, right? Once they go to Petty or Hackenberg, there's no going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, or they're bringing in a veteran journeyman or something like that if push comes to shove. But Fitzpatrick will not see the field again if he's benched at this point going forward.
You know, the thing for me, and if we want to close on a bit of a positive note / frustrating note, Robbie Anderson made multiple big plays, including that bailout catch down the sideline yesterday. Jalen Marshall made some big plays as well. Quincy Enunwa was open all day against that secondary and was barely looked at. Devin Smith is on the verge of coming back to the lineup. There, you know, Sherrone Peak has had some pretty flashes, although I think we could all agree that he's probably I think we could all agree that he's probably the lowest on the wide receiver totem pole among the young guys. There are some very exciting playmakers in this system. Bilal Powell is not as young as the rest of them, but he's younger than Matt Forte, and he has hope as well. And I want to see them. I want to see Robbie Anderson on go routes and deep posts and deep slants. I want to see Quincy Enunwa get the ball in his hands on a crossing pattern with room to run. I want to see Devin Smith getting separation like he did before he got hurt last year. And this is a quarterback that can't get them the ball and can't make those players effective. So I don't understand how you develop your young talent and how you build your young talent except at the game's most important position. And you can sit here and tell me that he's not ready and he's not ready and he's not ready about either Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg. But what does it say about them as prospects if they're not better than the trash that we're seeing on the field right now?
Right. And I mean, we've seen some guys like Cody Kessler and Dak Prescott, right, you know, given those are specific circumstances with specific coaching staffs and yada, yada, yada. But the point being, it's not unprecedented in this day and age for young quarterbacks who, you know, have a low, let's say a low resting heartbeat. You know, they don't get too freaked out when they get in the game to have, you know, some modicum of success. So it's possible. And then, right, like, there's just the whole replacement level idea, right, which is – and I don't know where he's going to be after this week, but, you know, I go to Football Outsiders. I look at, you know, where Ryan Fitzpatrick ranks through eight games, and he's number 30. He's number 30 in quarterbacks ranked. So quarterbacks who are ranked above him, Ryan Tannehill, Blaine Gabbert, Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, who is horrendous, Trevor Siemian, you know, on and on and on and on. And so my point is – you can't get much worse than replacement level at this point. So, you know what, make the switch and just see what happens, regardless of whether you believe in those guys or not.
True story. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Again, if you want to listen to this podcast as well as any of NSNY's other audio content, just search SNY.TV audio in your iPhone's podcast app or wherever it is you listen to podcasts. If you like us, you can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian_Bassett.
And as always, you can find Corey on Twitter at Corey Griffin NBC.
Thank you guys all for listening. We'll be back later in the week to preview what is sure to be the worst game of the week as the Jets prepare to play the Rams. God bless those of you willing to actually trek out to the Meadowlands to watch that game. Until next time, keep calm, Jet on.
Put in Willie Beeman.
Thanks for listening to the Jets Blog Postgame Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.